So this is the Dream class, and today's date is January 27th. So I just want to welcome everybody. So whether you're actually live on the call or you are not able to join us and listening through the playback, whatever transmission is coming through for the purpose of the expansion of the collective consciousness here, you're all going to be receiving that, participating in it. Because this is a class that's going to be directly channeled for the purpose of the collective. Okay, so we're here today to talk about dreams. I find dreams to be extremely fascinating for a number of reasons, because one is because we've all been around a long enough time to know that dreams have changed significantly over the course of the last couple of years. And that is mostly due to the way that the energies are coming through the earth, and the fact that these very high frequency light that's coming through from our sun is not able to be seen by us, but is being integrated in our energetic body, which goes through the etheric field and then into our physical body. So it's affecting us in the way that we're sleeping. We have different levels of energy coming through. Gamma makes it difficult for us to sleep. It makes us feel like we're being electrically stimulated. And then we have plasma coming through, and the plasma light's like a roto-rooter. So if you find yourself awake at night where you're not able to fall asleep because you're experiencing stomach problems, digestive issues, or anything like that, that would be plasma coming through, causing what feels like roto-rooter as your whole body is going through this gurgling and digestion upset. And then another of the cosmic light influences has been photonic light, which makes you feel very foggy, groggy, takes out the memory, and it just kind of makes you fall asleep whenever, wherever, right? So it gives you plenty of opportunity for dreaming. And, you know, if you had been in this dream class when I first taught it, probably like 10 years ago, you wouldn't have heard me talking about all of these different energies, because these different energies weren't as relevant as they are now at this stage of the game. But because everything on the earth is changing, because we are in our ascension process, our bodies are changing, which means that as our bodies are changing, our dreams are also going to be affected, and our dreams are going to be changing as well. So I actually had to add a new category to this this class, and so we'll be discussing that, and that has to do with the timelines, the dream timelines. So what is dreaming? You know, we all know where we go to bed at night and then we have these interactions during sleep. And, you know, sometimes we wake up and we remember what's taking place, and other times we come back and we can't remember what happened during our sleep time. And, you know, those times that we can't remember what's happened during sleep time, it's because we're at the deepest sleep possible, which is REM. And when we're in that state of REM, we're not capable of remembering our dreams when we're waking up, because if you think about it, when we're in that deep, deep state of sleeping, as you're waking up, your body is expending so much energy upon waking up that by the time you fully wake up, there's no way you're going to remember what you were dreaming, because you were in such a deep sleep state that your body used all of the energy that it had to get into a waking state, right? So most of us would perceive ourselves as not dreaming or not capable of having a dream. But that's really not true. The truth of the matter is that you were dreaming, there was something taking place, but because of the fact that you went so deep into your sleep state, you don't remember it upon waking because you expended all your energy. So if we look at why the body goes into a sleep state and what the purpose of dreaming really is about, then we would have to look at it from the perspective that while we're all sitting here listening to this class, our bodies are actually in their rest state. So our body is getting rest. You're sitting back, you're listening to this call, you're relaxing, and your body is in a, except for, you know, if you're moving about, but for the most part, if you're sitting in a chair, your body is resting. So when we're sleeping is not so much for resting the body, because the physical body does that when it's sitting in a chair just watching TV, or if it's sitting in a chair having a bite to eat, right? That's its rest state. The reason that we have dream state is because that's where our soul leaves our body. It does this every night, whether or not you're aware it does. It leaves our body and it goes into another dimensional plane. It has to bypass the astral plane. And in its departure of our physical structure, it actually recharges itself. So the purpose of dreaming is so that our soul can escape its physical vessel, go back into its original state of being, and recharge itself through different interactions that it might have in its departure from our physical body. Dreams are the window of our soul, right? So dreams can really be an incredible tool for assisting us and supporting us in understanding how we're navigating our reality, right? And so sometimes we're going to have a clear picture of what that's like. And sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, we're not going to have an awareness at all of what took place. And so if we think about the soul departing the body, and you think about, you know, astral travel, we're all familiar with that term, then you could say that at night, the soul slips out of the heart center, which is the fourth energy center in the body, or fourth chakra as we've always known it. And that fourth energy center is associated with the fourth dimension, which is the astral plane. So our soul departs this third dimension that we live or have lived in, because it's not really third dimension anymore, but that perception of third dimension, right, as we navigate our reality. And it's so our soul slips out to the astral plane. And from that fourth dimensional astral plane, which has many levels, it's one of the only dimensions that has many levels to it, it makes its escape and it can go into the higher realms to do various things, right? So it could go to gain higher learning. Your soul could depart to meet a loved one in a soul connection. It could go off in order to maybe work through what you're experiencing in your day-to-day reality. And then in the morning, you would wake up and you would be like, wow, I was having this interesting dream where I was in a tiny little Barbie doll car and I was going up this very steep mountain that had a lot of bumps and it was difficult to navigate. I wonder what that was about, right? I had that dream one time. And so as our soul departs, what it does is when it comes back in the morning, if we are in a place where we're not in that REM state of sleep and we wake up, we may recall what it was that we were having a dream of, right? And so most people will have commonly three different types of dreams that would be the most common or most standard types of dreams. And that would be an energetic dream, random dreams where it doesn't really make sense and we can't understand what the heck we were dreaming about. And then another type of dream would be like a life path event, right? Or a life path dream. And so the purpose of dreaming is really for us to be able to see where we are in our everyday life, for the purpose of being able to navigate our reality better, having an idea of, you know, what our unconscious subconscious mind is working on or relating to or bringing back to our consciousness, our, you know, waking moment. And so it's really a good thing if you have a dream journal and write down what your dreams are, because then you will have an idea of where you are in your day-to-day existence, right? Because sometimes, and I know this is true for myself, sometimes we may be dealing with something in our life and we perceive ourselves as having a handle on it, thinking we're like doing okay, navigating okay, and everything is hunky-dory. But then we have a crazy dream and we wake up and we're like, what the heck was that dream about, right? And really what that was is our unconscious subconscious mind working through whatever it is that we're not wanting to acknowledge in our physical waking state, right? So we may be ignoring something, and then our unconscious subconscious, our soul, goes into that realm to uncover and bring back information on whatever it is that we're not wanting to address or assess or be party to in our waking state. And then at other times, it may be going on its journey for the purpose of raising your vibration, right? So it could be going and doing healing work somewhere. I know I've had dreams in the past where I've woken up and I remember helping a young boy who was buried in rubble in another country that I, you know, have never been to in my real life. But in that dream, I was in that country and it felt like a third world country. And when I wake up, I usually know what country it was and that there was an earthquake or something. And then I'm helping this individual, right? So that's also another way for us to be doing our spiritual work and raising our vibration. So again, you know, there's many different reasons why we're having dreams. One of the most important things to have an awareness of is that the most important purpose for us to be in dream state is for our soul to leave the physical body so that it could go off and get a recharge and come back and be ready for us in a higher vibrational state in order to better help us navigate our day-to-day experience through things like our intuition, right? And so sometimes our soul is a safeguard for us so that we're not making a mistake or doing something that we shouldn't be doing in our day-to-day reality. And you might have worked it out in your dream state, and then you come back to your waking state of being going like, yeah, you know what? I really don't think I want to go there because something happened in my dream and it made me realize that maybe that would not be a good thing if I went and did that, or if I went on that trip over there, right? So let's talk about some of these dreams and the different categories of dreams that we could be connecting to. And certainly if you have a question, and you're, I have people that are on phones. So if you have your video on and I can see you and you have a question, you can just wave to me and I will know that you are wanting to ask a question. Otherwise, you can go to the bottom tab and do the raise hand thing, or just type out your question and I can answer it that way. So as we get into the dream levels, the first level is the energetic dream, right? This can often be very confusing for people. This is where we have the catastrophic dreams, very energy-based dreams, the hurricanes, the tornadoes. We're feeling chaos in the dream, volcanoes erupting. And so if we look at those types of dreams where there is fire, fire could mean that we are angry about something, right? And if there's water, water could mean that we're in the subconscious with worry or something emotional that we're concerned about that's making us feel emotional, right? And why these dreams are good and really not to be feared is because these types of dreams are usually indicators of stress, where we're carrying stress in our lives, right? So if we're constantly feeling stressed out, then maybe, and let's say we're like ignoring the level of stress that we're having, right? Maybe it's job stress and you're feeling frustrated at work and you're having these dreams of being in a fire constantly, right? Well, I would say that's a very intense, very angry type of energy. And that may be telling you that, you know, you feel like you're constantly in the fire at work, like you're, you know, you are feeling upset, angry more than anything about what's taking place at work, right? And then on the other side of the fence, if you were to, let's say, have a dream of being on a boat lost at sea, right? That's a common one. Because of the water element, I would say that something has you feeling very emotional and all alone because you're on a ship in the middle of the water somewhere, kind of lost to yourself without anybody to help you. Right? So you might feel that sense of aloneness, and then you're translating that in your dream to being in the middle of the ocean on a boat or a raft or something, and all you can see is water around you, right? Another type of dream that fits the energetic dream would be where you are experiencing teeth falling out, right? I have a lot of people always asking me about teeth falling out. And when I tune into that, that is about feeling like you don't have control, right? Something is not within your control. And if you think about, you know, teeth falling out, if your tooth was loose and going to fall out, that's something that you wouldn't have control over, right? And so this is where, and on a different level, right, ascension related, teeth for me is where we carry the deepest programs, the deepest third dimensional programs. So if you're dreaming that your teeth are falling out, you know, maybe it's because you're feeling like your hands are tied with something, and, you know, there's a cycle of, like a loop cycle playing out, like you're in a hamster wheel and you can't get out of that hamster wheel and you don't have control over what's taking place. So that's another aspect of those types of dreams. Another one would be where I've also had this where I was locked in a house and I couldn't get out of the house, right? Sometimes we could be locked into some place and that some place is being flooded with water. Again, right, we're feeling restricted, and it's on an emotional level, feeling restricted or confined, locked into something, locked into a jail cell, locked in a house, locked in a room. That's restriction. That's being confined. But then if you're locked in and it's about to be flooded with water, you're feeling restricted in your emotions. If the place is on fire, then you're feeling restricted and angry about something that you're not able to express, right? Phones, that's another really good one. I've had this with my mom when she crossed over. I would be having a dream where I was on the phone going, Mom, can you hear me? Can you hear me? And there was no answer, right? And that is about communication problems, right? The phone represents communication. And it doesn't matter what kind of phone it is. If you have a dream of an old style, like a princess phone or a Mickey Mouse phone, that the actual physical phone just kind of represents where your thought process is, maybe the scenario that's taking place, right? And the person that you're trying to get through to is usually the one where there's a communication issue. So, you know, my mom was passed, and she was coming through a lot to me in dream state, but for some reason I wasn't able to connect with her. And so they started turning into these phone dreams where I would be picking up the phone, hearing the phone ring and going, Mom, are you there? And I would hear her in the very distant going, Maria. And it was like this whole communication thing, right? So that's another really common one. How about losing money, your wallet, or your handbag, right? I have had that dream so many times. And so that when we have that, that's another indicator of like our abundance, right? Where we're feeling lack, where we're concerned about not having that money, or maybe, you know, we have to make a decision to do a repair on the house or to get a new car. And then suddenly we find ourselves having that dream where we can't find our wallet, or like me, my bag was stolen so many times in dreams, right? And that's like, that is fear that whatever decision it is that you're making is not going to be right, and you're going to lose money in making that decision, right? So those are what energetic dreams would be like, and you can see how you would feel having an energetic dream. It's always about the emotions, and it always feels chaotic, right? So does anybody have any questions on that kind of dream? If you do, you can unmute yourself and just ask me whatever your question is before we move on.
I just want to say something. In family dreams, we would all have dreams. Well, we would have dreams about teeth, but then it would always coincide with the passing of a family member.
Yeah.
Or someone close to the family.
Yeah. So, you know, for some, right, some do equate teeth to somebody passing. And that can also be very common too. But if you think about it and go back to the underlying, where you would be dreaming about teeth falling out and not having control over whether that, you know, if that person was going to pass or not. Right. Mm. So yeah. Do you see that?
Well, it's like generational, like we would have it. And then if one of the kids said it to one of the adults, mm-hmm. I dropped my teeth, fell out, they would look at each other and go, and then like a day later, somebody would pass, and it was like, oh my God, it was so horrific for children.
Yeah, that was in my family too. But it really does go back to that feeling. So it would be the same as a psychic impression, right, or an intuitive impression that something is going to happen that you have no control over.
Got it.
But so in that situation, There's that feeling coming up, I have no control over this. It's not necessarily attached to death and dying, right? Not necessarily that, but it is attached to an outcome where there is no control.
And since everybody in my family is basically psychic, so that's why they would get those dreams.
Yes, exactly. But
I don't know if you're going to be covering it. Are you going to cover like repetitive dreams? And then once they stop, does that mean you get over the fear of whatever it was connected to?
Yeah, so we will talk about that. And we'll talk about that when we get to that. But yeah, definitely. So all good questions. And yeah, that is the way that it works, you know. But if you think about the energetics, the specific message there is feeling out of control, because there's no control in how the teeth are falling out. And that's just the way it is, right? So that other intuition is kicking into something that's about to take place. We have no control over, but it doesn't have anything to do with the death. Not that specific, but most of the time on an intuitive level, you could see how you would attach to that, because a lot of people have premonitions.
Well, I thought maybe like the highest selves were like getting prepared, like they know
preparing
things. So they prepare your highest self, and then you have on the physical or the, you know, the conscious versus subconscious, I guess.
Correct.
I don't know if that's what it was. All right, cool.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, that's great. Anybody else have any questions? No? Okay. All right. All right. So the next dream, the next one is actually one of my favorites to talk about, because it's called a random dream. And it's like a more dysfunctional kind of dream, right? Where you wake up and you're like, I have no clue what is going on in my brain. Like, my brain must have been out to lunch last night in my dreams, because this makes no sense whatsoever, right? And there's a great explanation for this. So when I took a class with a mentor that was really amazing with dreams, like, I don't know, probably about 10 years ago now, she gave this really good analogy of you know, waking up from a dream that makes no sense. And it was a guy wearing a monkey suit, riding a bicycle, eating a banana. So she said, you know, think about that, right? You come back from that dream and you wake up, and how many times do we have that dream where we're like, I don't know, I had this really weird dream. It was a guy riding a bicycle, wearing a monkey suit, eating a banana. I have no idea what that meant, right? But it's because in this random dream, what we were really experiencing was kind of lost in translation. And if you think about it from this perspective, our brain has a Rolodex of knowledge that it gained as we, you know, came in it from a baby and now to whatever age we are. And so it's acquired all of that knowledge, right? All through the classes, through what people have imprinted on you, through teachers and work associates. And so your brain is filled with a Rolodex that has the third dimensional perspective written into it. And then you go to sleep, and you interact with, let's say, your spiritual team, right? And in interacting with your spiritual team, they're presenting you with information that your human has never, ever, ever encountered before. So it would be like you going to a foreign country and experiencing something in that foreign country that you have no knowledge of, no awareness of, and now you have to translate it and tell a friend what you experienced, right? So it becomes lost in translation. So this random dream is you on the other side, meaning your soul doing work or something that it needed to do on the other side. And then you wake up and you come back into this lifetime. And as you're waking up, you're like, that dream just made no sense to me at all, right? I have no clue what was taking place. I know in one of my dreams, I woke up from reading some kind of a big book. I couldn't tell you what the name of the book was. I couldn't tell you what was written in the book, because although I remembered knowing exactly what the book said while I was on the other side in my dream reading that book, when I came back to waking state, all of that information went right out my brain and I could not understand or translate what it was, right? Because this is higher knowledge. It's higher spiritual knowledge that our human brain does not have. And why this dream is important is because you're going to see this more and more and more. Because as we're doing our spiritual work and we're ascending our consciousness, we're going to be experiencing a whole lot of things that are going to be higher level learning or interacting with our guides or maybe being on spaceships or being on star bases or different planets somewhere or doing something, and you're going to come back and you're going to wake up thinking, well, that was weird because I was down the block and there was a guy walking up the block dressed in a zebra suit on all fours carrying a child on his back. And that's really not what was taking place in the dream, but it would appear that way because your brain is looking through its Rolodex, right? Scrambling to look through its Rolodex to try and figure out what it just experienced, because on a human level, it doesn't have that knowledge, right? So, and that's very, very common. Yasmin says that happens to her because her dreams are all over the place and she doesn't remember them. And yeah, that's very common, Yasmin. That happens all the time. And, you know, the more you're doing your spiritual work, you're going to find that happening all the time, right? We're going to experience these different random events in our sleep state that make absolutely no sense whatsoever to us. They sound so outlandish when we are trying to write them down in our journal, and it's merely because our human Rolodex does not have enough spiritual knowledge in it, because we've only known a third dimensional existence in this physical body. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. Did you have anything in specific you wanted to ask about, Yasmin?
No. Well, I'm just waiting because I usually have dreams that I'm going downstairs and I'm in the building or in the house, so I'm going to this some kind of basement, mm-hmm. and it's dark, mm-hmm. and there's spider waves, or it's empty, it's moldu, I'm like lost in there, and then I'm trying to get out, and sometimes I get out, sometimes I just wake up while I'm there, and it's just,
mm-hmm. And what is it, horrible. What is the feeling, what is the feeling usually, is it fear?
Yes, fear and lost and scared.
Okay. Yeah, so that type of a dream would be for me, that type of a dream would be where you feel like you may not be navigating your life path in a good way. Like you're afraid you're not on the right path. And so where you're, you know, navigating these different stairways, it's dark. And that might be your intuition stepping forward, your soul self stepping forward to say to you, you know, change your thoughts, act like you got it, because you do, because you're carrying a fear that's saying that, you know, you don't think that you're on the right path, or you don't think that you're headed in the right direction. And so you're having these dreams where you're going through a dark basement, right? Because you can't see the path in front of you. Does that make sense?
Yes, but I can see the path, but it's dark.
Yeah, well, the dark is the same thing, right? The dark is not navigating. Think about it from the perspective of the eyesight, not navigating clearly, mm-hmm. not seeing your pathway clearly, not seeing your footing mm-hmm. clearly, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's what that's about. That's about, you know, if you let go of the fear and just know that you are right where you're supposed to be, perfectly where you're supposed to be, those dreams would stop, right? So that requires every day you saying, I am perfectly perfect exactly where I am. I am perfectly perfect exactly where I am, right here, right now. Perfectly perfect, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what that requires. That requires a change in self-talk so you can shed that fear, because that's what's coming up in that dream, right? And that's really just your fear at, seeing clearly, seeing your way clearly, finding your way clearly, right? Because you're in the dark. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
So letting go of the fear. So that for me is about letting go of the fear. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for asking. Good question. All right. So does anybody have any questions on random dreams? No? Okay. All right. So the next dream, oh Bobby, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Oh, wait. Let me unmute you. Why is that not unmuting? There we go. Okay.
I'm going to mute myself. It says you want to unmute. Okay. So the question that goes back to the one I asked you before, but a different thing. So since I was a little girl, I had two random dreams that made no sense, but I think I later connected it. So the one was me, so crazy, growing wings when I needed to fly to get off the ground to get away from the snake, always, since I was a little girl. And I was always running through like a schoolyard. And I'm like, I could just get away from it. And I would just somehow be like a bird and just fly just enough to get so the snake couldn't get me. Mm-hmm. That's the first one. Then as I got a little older, it was the plane crash. Either I was saving people from the plane crash where it was exploding in the field, or I was on the plane, but then somebody would always come up to me on the plane and say, don't worry, you're not going to be in this explosion. You're going to save the ones that are in the field. Like, and it would constant. So I wouldn't fly for 20 years because I thought that was going to happen.
That was you. Yeah.
So when I finally started flying a couple years back, I was like, it was so hard for me, the anxiety and the fear. And I just let it go. But it was horrific.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about that for a second, because I'm remembering a flight that you had the last time where you were delayed. Okay. So let's talk about this, because this is an energetic thing for you. All right. So first part, let's take the part with the wings, that you created wings to get away from the snake. All right. So that dream is not about the snake, right? But that dream is about your capability of being able to navigate through life successfully.
Got it.
Right. So that's like your higher self's like, hey, look, we got this. We could just make wings and we could get away. We're good. So that was like your first step in understanding your own power.
Okay.
Right. That's what that was. And then the second part of that, where you had the plane situation was.
Oh, on that too.
Yeah, was your soul work, right? So your soul was at work doing this and said, don't be afraid while you're in this reality, because you have to remember, our soul leaves our physical body and it goes interdimensional, right? It becomes multidimensional because it's traveling in dimensions. So maybe in another dimension now here we're going to expand this out, right? On another timeline, right? On another timeline, you were in a situation where you needed to help those people because you were not going to be impacted, but your guardian, your guide, your angels, your galactics, whomever stepped to you and said, hey, don't worry, because they knew your human was still in its awareness. Don't worry, nothing's going to happen to you, but we need your help, because this is what you're supposed to do. So it's like aligning you to what your purpose is here with the work that you're doing here, showing you that you would be helping.
It was what you said before about the psychic imprint, because the dreams would come. Sometimes I'd be standing in a parking lot or in a field and the plane would be right above me, but it would crash. Then 2 days later, there'd be a crash in real time. mm-hmm. and on the news, and I'd be like, oh my God, should I have told, like, how are you going to change that? Mm-hmm. So it was like, to me, like, I don't want to know that stuff because I can't change it.
Right.
So it was so hard for me to watch these crashes and then hear of it on the news.
Right. So, right. So what happens in that case, because I had that too when I was little, and, you know, and I have that too. Like, I just know when something happens on the earth, I feel it in my field. Right. Mm-hmm. But what that's about more than anything is that you're tuning in at a very deep level, right? Your sensitivity is super connected in, right? And so that was, or could have been, a tool for training your psychic senses to take it, like, to the next level, right? Because if you think about it from this perspective, you know, and I got this jam up last night. I'm going to talk about this for just a second. Last night, with this whole, the whole Kobe Bryant passing, with the crash, right? And when I lay down to sleep, I actually had to shift my my energy, because I was tuning into the collective that was devastated about him in particular passing, and then right away my whole energy perspective is, okay, well, you know, yes, we are all upset about him, but what about the other 100,000 people on the earth that also passed away, right? Yeah. They weren't a superstar like him, and maybe not as well known as he was, but, like, you know, another 100,000 people died yesterday or Sunday along with him. So this is like the higher perspective, right? And then the head goes into, from my higher perspective, going, yeah, I wish people understood soul contracts more, because then they would understand that, you know, he's not supposed to be here for his physical ascension, and he was repaying something that his soul chose to depart the way it did in a fiery crash, right? Because that wasn't pretty, and it certainly didn't happen in sleep. When I see stuff like that, that's always karmic in nature for me. That's just for me. That's how I pull it through, right? And that his daughter chose to go in that fashion too, because, again, it aligns to the soul's experience of what we came here to do, what we come here to do as souls, right?
A lot of people are going to believe that. I do, but you try to tell people that they don't get it.
Yes, exactly. So when we look at it from the perspective, and so go back to that plane crash, right, that you always tuned into, the plane crash, that's that perspective, that knowingness, and there is probably a time on either another timeline or in a prior incarnation on that alternate timeline playing out now, where you were involved in a plane crash in some way, shape,
or I definitely believe that.
You into that, being so sensitive to it, because I know that was for me too. When I was young, I couldn't stand planes flying over my parents' house. Drive me crazy, you know? And so we were probably in the same crash.
Yeah. And also, it was also me thinking of the UFOs crashing too, because I was always into them since I was a little girl, waiting for them to come take me. So I never knew what was, I always heard the sound first, and I was like, okay, what is crashing now? Yeah. But I also thought of it as I got older. I thought maybe, because I was told that when you dream, you're supposed to write down every little thing that happens in the dream, and then you put it together and it makes a story. I don't know how true that is, but it's in all the dream books. Mm-hmm. And I thought that the one dream about the plane crashing with all the people on it was me trying to run to save people that are, like, crashing and burning their own lives. Like, I thought maybe that was it as I got older, because I'm always helping people who are, you know, either on the verge of suicide or, you know, whether it be happy, sad, or indifferent. And I felt like maybe that was what some of the dream meant. Like, always racing to get people before they crashed and burned.
I don't think, this is just my personal perspective on this, having worked with dreams for the last 10 years. I don't believe that that dreams represent only one thing. I think that we have to tune into the feeling that is being presented, because I know we could have a dream about a plane crash one day and then have a dream about a plane crash months later, and they both feel very different.
Yeah.
So I think it's more where we have to look at it from that moment and what is transpiring in that moment for us.
So some of it could be the psychic imprint from the crash that was going to happen the next day. Some of it could be from what you said before. So it's all different depending on what scenario it was.
And the most important part of it is to not play into the fear.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Not playing into the fear of what we just encountered or experienced, knowing that, you know, most of it is the soul's work.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I think they got like you said, like you and I are in the same kind of vibe when we're younger. When I was younger, there would used to be this little tiny, not a fairy, but she looked more like an angel without wings, let's say. And she took me by the hand and she used to walk me through the, I don't even know what they were, gardens maybe or whatever. But she would always like just have this whole talk with me. She was like miniature, like a miniature little, she was a full aged woman, but she was miniature and just like, not really angelic like, but more like, you know, when you see those older lamps or those pillars that have the beautiful
a sprite. I thought maybe a sprite. Oh. Yeah, because fairies will present as super tiny, because I had one that used to present that way. And then of course recently I've come to understand that fairies are 11 feet tall.
Oh my God.
In their true form.
They're small. They're the
I think it might have been a sprite or one of the elementals.
But she was older than
is what it feels like. Yeah.
She was miniature and slender, and she looked like something that my mom was always into, these beautiful pillars that you put glass on, and they were on the side of them. They had like these draped clothing, more like maybe the 1800s or something. And just like always took me through these fields. I don't know if she's a guide or she was teaching me things. I don't know. But that was a constant dream. And you brought me back to that when you said, you know, we're in the same type of vibe. So it's just so crazy to me, all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why. But, and now, you know, the whole dream workshop, the dream class has changed so much, because I have to incorporate ascension into it now too, because dreams have really changed a lot.
They're probably just preparing, not scaring.
Yeah.
Like ready for ascension, I would think.
That's why we can't be afraid of the dreams, even the scary ones. And we'll talk about that in a little bit too.
Yasmin's, is that how you say her name?
Yasmin.
What's the part which she said she was dreaming she was in a fire? Because the dog was barking. I didn't hear what she said.
No, she was in a dark basement.
Oh, I thought she said it was a fire. I was like, what?
Dark rooms, yeah. Okay. Dark rooms, a dark basement.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear what she said in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's move on. We're going to move on to the next type of dream. And the next type of dream is a life path dream, right? And this is really a common kind of dream. I've had these, oh my God, so often, right? And just before moving into this house, I was like, I felt like I was in this place of stuckness, and I would have them constantly. And you know, life path dreams are, they follow your life path. So they are in, likeness to your soul blueprint, right? And so how you're navigating your way through your life. And, you know, so everything is based on free will, and it could show you where you're off your path. So like, for instance, that one time where I was in that little Barbie doll car, right? This pink Barbie doll Jeep. And I remember I was driving it, and it was tiny. It was too small for me. My knees were like, you know, and I'm driving with this tiny little steering wheel. And I was coming out of this like carport, and it felt like I was in like Sedona or in New Mexico or something. And I'm driving over this bumpy terrain. And then all of a sudden the road just smooths out, right? And I had that dream just before I moved into this house. And so what I realized from all the years of dream interpretation that I do was that I was, you know, coming out of the place where I had been held up, kept up, and the path that was, you know, seeming to be rocky, that was a difficult path to navigate, was going to smooth out and it was going to become easier for me. And that's exactly what happened when I moved into this house. So we can have dreams like that. And you could, like, it would be the same thing if you dreamt that you were riding a bicycle up a treacherous mountain, right? The vehicle, right? Well, if you're riding a bicycle, it's not a very fast way of going. If you're in a car, a little faster, a little better, right? If you're on a motorcycle, probably a lot faster. And if you're on a tricycle, you're not going fast at all. That was like me in the Barbie doll car, right? And then what is the terrain that you're navigating? If you're going up a hill, your life is very challenging. If you're on a smooth winding path, it means that, you know, your path is taking a lot of turns and it's not just a straight path. You have a lot of curves, a lot of hidden curves up ahead. So, you know, it's about what kind of transportation we're taking to get there, and then what the terrain is looking like. So that's how we know it's a life path dream. The life path dreams show you how you are moving through life, right? Is the road twisting and turning? Is there suddenly a fork in the road and now you have to make a decision of which direction you're going? Going uphill means that you're in resistance. So when you're going uphill, you're in resistance. When you're going over rocky terrain like I had, you might be having a difficult time navigating life. If the road is twisting and turning, you might be going back and forth with the decision that you're trying to make. I've had also where I was driving a car and I hit a patch of ice, and then all of a sudden in that ice, I had to take my hands off the wheel, and I remember saying, "Oh, Spirit, help me." And my hands were off the wheel and somebody else was driving. Spirit was driving, right? And that was because I was having difficulty navigating an aspect of my life. Elevators, they bring us up, right? Bring us up into our consciousness. So if you're taking an elevator, you're moving up. If you're going down steps into a dark basement or a dark room, then you're, you know, coming down into the unknown, where maybe you're not feeling so comfortable, right? And so, Yasmin, you have a question about flying? Go ahead.
I used to have dreams about flying and seeing different places, different cities, or just mountains.
Those are astral travel. Mm-hmm.
They were beautiful. Mm-hmm. I like those type of dreams.
Yeah, but that's where your soul was free and your soul was astral traveling, right? Mm-hmm. And so you were in soul form and you were flying above the earth, looking at all the different places, feeling free. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. is one of our most natural states of being, when the soul is free and we could just fly, right? So you're in the astral and you're just flying. So that's very natural. That's a very natural state of being when you are having a dream where you're flying, right? There's nothing wrong with that. That's a very natural thing. That's a very high level. So, you know, you were expressing yourself, expressing your higher self at that time. And that was soul mastery. I would say that was also a dream of soul mastery, where you're, you know, you're in your mastery, flying above everything, right? Okay. Super cool. Very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Any other questions? No? So, you know, with regard to, I know people ask about houses all the time. And so when we're having these life path dreams and we're having different things with, you know, houses, because I mean, we've all had that. I've had that myself, right? So let's say you're in a house and you walk into the house and the house is empty. There's no furniture in the house. There's nothing in the house. It's a completely vacant house, right? That's an indicator that you're feeling empty. Houses represent how we are operating internally, right? So if the inside of the house is empty, then we're feeling alone. We're feeling empty, okay? So if you're in a house and you walk into the house and you see that it has plumbing issues, right? That the pipes are leaking, or that that you in your dream have to call a plumber. Sometimes it could pertain to the fact that we're having a plumbing issue. We might have to check with a doctor on a digestion or something like that. But it's also could go back to that energetic dream where we're dreaming about water and we're feeling emotional. So maybe there's some emotional stuff going on the inside. If you're in a house and the house is perfect, right? I've been in those houses in my dreams where the house was white and it had like the most amazing furniture and like the window trimmings were like amazing and everything, right? Everything was perfect. It was feeling perfect. That's because we're feeling perfect. Like whatever is taking place in life feels really good. It feels really perfect. And then you'll have those times where you go into a house in your dream and it feels like complete chaos and there's nothing but clutter. And it's because you're feeling chaos. You're feeling the chaos internally and something taking place in your life. So that's also another aspect, dreaming of, you know, but that's more like those off-planet connections, right? So a lot of times when we are dreaming, so Bobby's asking about what happens if someone is speaking another language that sounds like it's maybe galactic, like a light language or something, and there is a noise that appears to be like grunting or fighting or struggling, and you know, what would that be? What would that be like? And so, you know, in those situations, right, we've had experiences, life experiences off the earth, right? More experiences off the earth, some of us, than we have had on the earth. And, you know, just like we have war on the earth, and we've had World War I and World War II, we've also had those wars up in the solar system, right? And one of the most common wars that we had in the solar system was the Orion Wars. And so many of us, if we're watching too much TV or we're feeling a little bit of conflict in our lives, especially now with how everything that's taking place with the presidency and all of that, that's why we don't want to watch that on TV at all, because it's not in our reality and you don't want to call it into your reality, right? When we're having that experience, it can take us into those old timelines where we may be working through those experiences where we were in a galactic battle as a Sirian or as a Liren Lyran. And we were in, the Orion Wars, which was a very difficult time, right? So it could be those types of circumstances, Bobby, where he's experiencing those timelines, right? That would be more a timeline experience, which is why I said, now going forward with these dream workshops, I can't really just talk about dreams the old way, because with what's taking place now, we also need to incorporate, the aspect of timelines and integrating timelines in our dream state and our sleep state. So most likely what's taking place is he's working through some of that in sleep state, right? And the more you're doing your work and the more he tunes in, that he's had a lot of interaction here, right? The last couple of times we've talked. So the more he tunes into that, the more it's gonna assist him in integrating those timelines where he can bring everything into this now moment and you know, merge all of this, right? And so sometimes in him participating by just listening, he doesn't have to do anything more than that, it will kick in those light codes, those key codes from the higher self perspective, and that integration will start taking place in such a way that he will integrate those timelines, and you'll see less and less and less of this taking place as he is coming back within himself, right? And again, because he carries such a high vibrational frequency, this reality, until that third dimension, fourth dimension completely clears his field, getting activated again, until it clears his field completely, he's going to probably still experience those old timelines that he's integrating. So many people are experiencing that as well, as these timelines are collapsing and merging. So yeah, he's very welcome. And any questions, please, I'm happy to integrate that in this talk, because it's all relevant and very important. So this brings us right into past life dreams. And if you've taken my classes before, you know I don't like the term past life, because that keeps us separated, right? The term past life itself has the connotation of us being separate from this now moment. And we really, all timelines are present, occurring in this present reality, right? Past, present, and future. So just as you are tuning in this now moment, your future self is also in this present moment, because it's on another timeline. It's just that you have not, we were not taught to connect with it. But if you started working with your future self, you would find yourself integrating more of your realities in your dream state, like what's been happening with me. So in every choice that we are making, right, we're having a bazillion other choices that we didn't choose, that are floating around out there without our consciousness on it, because our consciousness is here on this current timeline right now, right? So everybody that's on this call is experiencing this call in your highest state of consciousness, except for maybe two, maybe three for some, but mostly two. And those would be future aspects of yourself. One would be your future self in galactic form, right? And then that the next one beyond that might be your future self in another higher expression beyond the galactic form of you, right? And so if you think about it, every choice that you make, so you're here with me now, but there were probably other choices for other things that you could have been doing aside from being on this talk right now. So all of those other options that you had are playing out without your consciousness on it. And at some point, at a later date or tonight in dream state, you'll integrate all of those timelines into this now reality, right? So for me, there was somebody that I grew up with that lived across the street from me, this guy, Michael, and he really liked me a lot, except I was super shy when I was very young, and I was in high school, and I think he was 5 or 6 years older than me, and he was in the Navy. And although he was like super sweet and super cool, he played the guitar, he was in a band, I was just very shy. And my parents didn't want me to date. So I never dated him, right? And then he went on his way and I went on my way. But so he's been circling in my awareness and just things that have like presented in weird kind of ways. And then last night when I was just starting to fall asleep, I was pulled into a timeline where I'm this age now. And he was calling me to let me know that he was going to pick me up because we had a snowstorm. And he's like, I got you. I love you. I'll be right there. Just stay right where you are. This is not a problem for me. I got you. Right. And I'm like, and I'm on the other end of the phone going like, wait, what, who is this? Because I'm me in this now moment going like, I'm not dating you. Right. But so that's a, that, but this is how dreams are now occurring. So we're not just playing out the soul departing to do its work. We're also playing out integrating these timelines as we've now moved into this 2020 timeline, right? So the experience is different. That's why we can't look at dreams the old way. We can't go to a dream Bible anymore because most dream Bibles have not been updated for eons and eons and eons, right? So every single dream that we have, we have to look at that dream in that now moment and say, what is presenting in this moment for me right here, right now? Because you might be integrating a timeline like I was just integrating, because on this timeline here where we are all present, I'm not dating him, right? Because I made that decision years ago that I was too shy, too embarrassed, whatever, to date him because he was so much older than me. But in on another timeline, I did date him. And on another timeline somewhere, we probably were married. But on that timeline, we just got together, I guess, a short time ago, and we're just freshly dating now. So you see all these timeline potentials? Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah, right? So we have all of these timeline potentials playing out, showing up for us, presenting in our reality, and we're needing to integrate and we're needing to heal them. Right? So whether we're fighting a galactic battle, which is an old timeline, that's not really an old timeline, but it's presenting in our reality because it's an aspect of us, right? Cells have memory, soul has memory, that we need to heal and we need to integrate. Does that make sense to you guys? Bobby, did you want to say something? I'm gonna unmute you. What's up?
Okay, so what, because it's the new timelines, What state of sleep do you have to be in for it to be considered a dream? Because I have dreams that play out right in alpha, either before going to sleep or just waking up. Yeah. Then I'll have deep dreams, which is, you know, where you're going here and then everywhere. So I wrote a question, but I didn't hit enter yet. But so do you remember that movie Through the Eyes of Laura Mars, how she saw, like, I think it was Faye Dunaway, and she saw, like, or this woman that was going to get raped, and she went through all these things. And sometimes I feel like I see in the dream state, what denotes, like, how do you know which is, if you're awake and you see a vision, is that considered to be a visionary? Because when I do remote viewing, is that going into some type of dream state, or is that alpha? I'm so confused.
So this is where you're needing to get clear within yourself, navigating these timelines, right? That's why you started doing this work, because this is becoming really important where you're starting to have this awareness, right? And so we're having all kinds of experiences. Now, the other thing that I experienced, and I'm just gonna share this quickly and to make a point really, was just after I had that awareness of this guy, Michael, right, from my past, in the next 2 minutes, I had a voice, a male voice coming in saying, hey, it's Ramuel. I need to speak with you right now. It's important, right? And I'm like, and then I heard myself saying, Archangel Ramuel? And I'm like, I never heard of an Archangel Ramuel before, but there is an Archangel Ramuel, right? But I'm me, Maria, has no awareness because I've never communicated with him before. Do you see what I'm saying? So we're getting to a place within ourselves where, so number one is being very, very playful, staying playful, because when you're staying playful, you're accessing the higher self, right? And so when you're staying playful and you're allowing yourself to expand your consciousness, you're accessing the higher self, you're coming out of the ego, which is the lower third dimensional, fourth dimensional vibration, coming more into fifth dimensional consciousness. And then as you're doing that, and then as you're raising your awareness, accessing a higher aspect of yourself, then you are able to sit in that split second, right? Because it's a split second knowing, like me, that was Michael, a timeline, not here, not now. Okay, boom, let that integrate, and there we go, right? And then in the next session, that is Archangel Ramiel, and I'm like, no idea who he is, but you know, please feel free to come back and talk to me sometime, because I would like to know you and know what you were wanting, right? So this is where if we get out of our third dimensional way, right? Because we're still needing to get out of the way in fourth dimension too. Get out of the way, get rid of that ego, put it in the corner with a cookie, right? Let it just chill. And just call in that higher self aspect. Then we will do an amazing job of navigating these realities, because this is how it's all working now, right? Yeah. As we're integrating all of these timelines, we're needing to be very open and pliable to what is being experienced in our reality. Let me give you an example, because this might help all of you understand the feeling, right? Because if the more clarity we're operating with, and I know this is off topic, but just bear with me, because it really requires saying, right? So I get asked all the time, how does it feel when you integrate a timeline, right? So yesterday, driving in the car with my friend, and we're going into Stony Brook to a coffee cafe to have a bite of breakfast and then head on our journey to go do 1,001 things, right? And so as we're heading down that way, the pathway we were going down, and I know you all have this, must have triggered this timeline that felt familiar, that kind of felt the same. And in that moment, I felt myself, it was in my field, as myself now, however, really maxed out to the nines, right? Designer pocketbook, designer, what are they? The sweatpants and a hoodie, but it's like the velveteen or velour. Like, I'd never wear that in the now, right? That's not me. Right. And I probably had Botox. My hair was really long. And I was like, you know, like, yeah, this is me, right? And I could feel that impression stream through me. It was like I ran into energetically that essence. Is this making sense for you guys? That essence. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I had a choice, right? I had a choice to feel it, absorb it, let it integrate like a puff of smoke or something to evaporate into me, or I could sit there and go, oh my God, that was the weirdest feeling in the world. Oh my God, that was, what was I wearing? I was wearing, oh my God, I think that was a Yves Saint Laurent bag, and it was a, I don't know, I must have had a Gucci jumpsuit, right? I could have done that. And what would that have done? That would have taken that experience and flung it away from me, right? When I was really needing to integrate it. Like I was evaporating this cloud that was me that wanted to just, right, suck into me and just like be part of me, right? But had I got my head around it in my third dimensional egoic perspective, I would have torn it apart And I would have ripped into myself because I'm not zhuzhed up and I'm not she'd and I'm not, you know, all of this other stuff, right? And I'm not toting that third dimensional, you know, glamour girl type of stuff around and whatnot. And then I would have felt bad because, oh, I could have done that. I could have been that. And I stopped going to the gym. So I'm not like, you know, torqued and tight anymore. And I could have done that. And that, where would that have gotten me? That would have pulled me right into probably a depression or, you know, sadness or grief or something like that, right? Like, I don't do depression. So, but that would have pulled me into like something out of my head. And then certainly, you know, I wouldn't, the rest of my experience would have not been what it needed to be. But because this is all I do 24/7, this is me, right? I felt it. I felt that gaseous cloud of timeline hit me and then dissipate because I let it integrate with me so that that timeline is not floating around somewhere in its existence, creating more chaos for me in this now moment. I let it hit me. I let it integrate. I closed my eyes. It was like, what's her name? Kate Winslet standing on the bow of the Titanic, right? With the wind blowing through her going, yes, yes, blow right through me. Kill this shit, right? So it requires us to be absolutely present and to just be in the greatest moment of awareness that we've ever had, right? Because this is how we're doing it now. 2020 requires this kind of presence, this kind of clarity, because it's coming in. And so this is really important because, you know, this is all timeline stuff that's playing out. And who cares? We're not going to separate it and say, oh, you know, that was a dream. That was this, that was that. We're not doing that anymore. That's why in this workshop where I've never done this in all years past, because it's never been necessary before, but now it's necessary. It's necessary not to just talk about dreams. It's necessary to talk about timelines.
So getting back to that question, then that, well, I guess that answers one of it, but the main part is like, what, I guess, I don't even know the word I'm trying to get to. What denotes the dream state itself? Is it all different parts?
It's all different parts.
It's weight, it's sleeping, it's all of it.
So think about it from this, right? So when you get hit with photonic light, right? So photonic light is living consciousness light. When photonic light hits us, it works through our cells, it works through molecular level. What it does is it comes into the body and it pushes all distortion to the etheric field so that we can let it go, right? And so when that photonic light comes in, it pushes all of that distortion forward. And in that distortion coming forward, we fall asleep and we're in our deepest sleep because we can't function because we're foggy groggy, right? So that's how photonic light comes in. So that's one level. And when you wake up from that, you might not perceive anything because that might take you right into REM, right? But then you might have a moment where you're in gamma and you're running gamma, which is working your neurological system. It's working your immune system and you're feeling these like little stimulation, these little impulses running through you, right? Electrical impulses is what gamma feels like. And when you're in gamma, you can't get to REM because REM is too deep asleep because you're being stimulated, right? Gamma makes you feel like an ever-ready rabbit. So when I had those two experiences last night with that guy, Michael, and then with the other part of it where I had Archangel Raphael come in, I was running gamma and I had some plasma light coming through, and plasma is like Roto-Rooter for the pipes of the digestive system in the body. And the plasma, just like whatever distortions came up to the surface, it was going through me. I was sick laying in bed last night. I was like, I hope I'm going to be able to do that call tomorrow because I didn't know if I was going down with another upgrade or what, you know, but what I have not had in any upgrades really. I mean, like nothing since October of 2015, where I went down for, you know, 3 months with upgrades. But this energy is so new, like the frequencies, I'm like, I have never heard these frequencies. And it's no longer just one ear. It's both ears. It's both ears coming in, right? And these frequencies that we're running are so high. They're so high. So when I went down last night, I hit the bed. And thank God I sleep alone, because I was flopping this way. Then I flipped that way. Then I flipped back this way. And then there was a moment where my body was exhausted from moving back and forth, but I was still in that gamma state of sleep, which is a light state of sleep. And I had those two experiences. And then I recorded it on my phone just so that I would remember it this morning when I woke up, right? So I do this all the time. But then we go into beta. And beta is really where you want to be sleeping, right? And then, but all these frequencies are changing it up too much. So I'm going to say, once you get out of your way and try not to be a super sleuth and figuring it out, right? That's the ego wanting to know exactly what went on, exactly what happened, right? It's like playing the game of Clue. It was Mrs. Peacock in the library with the candlestick, right? We don't care anymore. All we want to know is we want to understand what we just experienced. Now, most of it is going to be these timeline integrations, right? But then we are also going to have those moments where we're connecting with our galactics. I had the Syrian ambassador come in my dream, this 4 foot cat, black cat, four feet tall, right? Come up to me and go, we want to commend you on a job well done for, you know, your work with the Galactic Federation, blah, blah, blah. And I woke up like right after that whole thing. And I was like, what the heck? What was I doing? Right. And so this is what happens. This is what happens to us, for us. Right. So we really have to start getting out of our way and just like being playful, having fun. And I go to bed now. When I go to bed, I'm like a little kid. I'm like, I can't wait to get into bed because I have no idea what's coming my way, you know? And I told you the last time Eddie was on the class with me, he was talking to me, telling me all about himself, you know? And that's what happened. So when I start connecting with people, I start working with you in dream state and we just expand your consciousness and it's all.
I think the reason I ask so many questions is because it comes up in my readings constantly and I don't always know the answer, and I'm not going to, you know, bullcrap people. I'd like to know.
I mean, if they're really looking for, I put a thing on my website now for a $33 15 minute call with me so that they don't have to book a whole session. They right. could just do like a quick question if they had a question and just see what's going. So if anybody was really stuck and they wanted help with that. Yeah, but you know, most of it is going to be like, you know, now after taking this class, I guarantee you, you're going to feel more comfortable when those questions come your way.
Just one more question about the, you know, the cell memory that we carry that people talked about for years. So when we're having these dreams or in the gamma, the beta, whatever it may be, the alpha or the deja vu or all those things, is that something that we're bringing up from the cell memory that we karmically have to burn off or to get through or to know about? Or is that something totally different?
Well, it's not karmic, right? It's not karmic in nature. And yeah, it is all cellular. And you have to remember that the main reason this is all being triggered this way is because the Akash is basically alchemizing right now, right? Mm-hmm. So as we're integrating those timelines, the Akash, which is held in the field of the earth, is also alchemizing and integrating those timelines, right? So we're having more and more and more experiences like that coming to the surface, as we're also going to have more experiences in our 5D multidimensional state, in waking state, right? So this is where we're just going to have to come. Yeah, you're just going to have to go. That's why. Why do you think I do these as often as I do them? Yeah. Because it's going to, we're soon coming into, I'm feeling like May, where people really are going to need a place to land with the information coming through so that they could do a good job navigating, because it's going to get a little wonky. You know, you may put something down on your desk Lisa might be doing a painting, and then all of a sudden she walks away to get a drink of water and her painting is gone. And not just the painting, but everything that was with the painting. And that's a dimensional shift.
So it's like quantum leap.
Yeah, so it's like you look and you go, shit, I must have dementia. Did I not just do a painting? Did I not just, and that, yeah. Yeah, that's not you. That's not dementia, Lisa. That's why I picked you. I already had the vision of this, you see. So it's not dementia. This is a dimensional, multidimensional. You're accessing yourself. And if you think about the frequencies, I know we're way off topic, but it's really important and it bears repeating, right? So if you think about the frequencies and you think about third dimension over here and fifth dimension is over here, we have a whole bandwidth of frequencies, a spectrum of frequencies in the middle, right? So Lisa could be here and then has a shift and she's here, but her painting is still here. And because she's here, she's not accessing her painting, which is here. So she has to wait until she lowers her frequency back down and goes into where her painting is again. Yeah, happens to me all the time. All right, Lisa, I'm going to unmute you because I know you've been waiting. Go ahead.
Hi, Nicola, I see you there.
Hi, everybody. Yes, that's definitely how it works for art. And so we call that the painting is painting itself, because sometimes I'll paint something and I'm not sure where to go. When I come back, it looks totally different. Mm-hmm. And you have to really, it's an organic unfolding, and I don't even know what dream state it is, but you have to really be comfortable with that, because whenever I've gotten readings from other people, they're like, you're always in a dream state, aren't you? And you kind of are as an artist. You're always daydreaming in a way, but I'm very comfortable in that space and it doesn't matter to me. I just need to connect on where I'm comfortable. And that's how I am in my creative state. So it works for me.
I think that's being more 5D than anything. Accessing more of that higher 4D, 5D state of being. 5D, when you anchor into 5D, you know it, because Kundalini doesn't stop. Like, I'm in constant Kundalini, which is sometimes it's annoying. And yeah.
Especially the way you describe it, it's pretty funny.
It's funny, right?
I got myself, gee, I need some 5D stuff today. I think she's living alone. I'm like, yes.
I know. I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize that, because I'm talking, I'm channeling. And then I'm like, and then somebody said to me, boy, that was right out in the open there where you were talking about your vagina. And I was like, I was doing what? Like, should I go back and listen to that?
And the thing is, I totally understood what you were talking about. I was like, yes.
Right? Oh my God, that's just so funny. But yeah, that's what happens. But so when you're, you know, when you're in that 4D state, right? So now you're, so if you're thinking about it from a different perspective, as 3D and 4D are really non-existent in the earth plane anymore, right? So it's still in many fields though, in the physical field, 3D and 4D. So the more you're in upper 4D, then the more it's going to feel different to you as you're ascending into that consciousness. And so you'll have those moments where you become blipped out and you can't find, like, my scissors disappeared the other day and I was hunting all over the house. And then finally I let it go. When I let it go, I came back. They were right there where I had thought I put them.
You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
So exactly. You know what? That's a fun joke. I'll make a joke. Okay, Spirit, so where are they now? And then usually it's like on my head or whatever the heck. I'm like, or my bra. Sometimes I'll put things in my bra and I'm like, okay, that was very funny. And then I have a little laugh. I said, I think you just wanted to have a conversation with me. I think that's it.
We can't, you know, this is where it's getting to the point where we have to really stay on, you know, in our spiritual path and do our work to be extremely present as possible, so that we're, you know, creating in every moment. And then we can tune into our dreams and say, oh, what kind of dream did I just have? And then whatever comes up for your intuition, just trust that, because you're not going to get the wrong information. You have to just trust it. When we learn to trust it, we do a great job of navigating it, right? And that's that most important part. But when we're not trusting it, that's when we're running into problems. We're running into all kinds of trouble.
Can I ask you a question? Do you have a different team in your dream state than you do in your waking state? Your dream team is different.
No, and they're changing all the time.
Because, I mean, I know I'm dreaming. I just don't remember all of it when I come back. It's exactly what you were saying. It's so mumbled. And I just feel okay. I tell myself, you know what? Your human mind cannot, there's too many layers to it that it doesn't come out in the form that we speak. Like, it doesn't have words to it and it doesn't have an image to it. So I said to myself, just let it be wherever it's supposed to be. And if you get one word, if you get one image, if you're supposed to remember it, you will. And that's how I usually let it go with that.
Let me give you this to that, right? So in those times where you're not remembering, just know that your higher self has all the information and is working on your behalf, right? So the human never has to worry about that, because the higher self is always pulling in exactly what is needed. So you don't have to ever think about that or ever worry about that, because there's been so many times where I've woken up with like specific instructions from my team, and I'm hearing myself coming back speaking these instructions. And when I fully come back and wake up, I can't remember a word of what the heck was said. So I think, you know, if we, like I said, if we just start to tune in and just be like, oh, I was working with my team. Oh, I was doing this. Oh, I was doing that. And not get caught up in the headiness, because that's third and fourth dimension. That brings you right back down again, right? So we want to just really be playful and just be like, oh, look, I just did this or I did that. That's really how we want to operate. Does that help?
Yeah, no, definitely, because I'll say that. And the funny thing is you'll wake up and go, oh, I remembered everything. And then as soon as you put your foot on the ground, that's it, it's out. And I go to myself, you know what? Because a lot of times, like you said, you stay in that state where you're laying down. A lot of times I will keep my eyes closed to stay in that state if I want to write it down. And then I'm like, you're getting too hung up on the message, rather than maybe it's not, you're supposed to be just a feeling that you're walking away from. Just remember the feeling, embrace that. And that works better for me rather than being frustrated.
Right.
Like keeping it in your heart.
And I will tell you, we are doing an excessive amount of work in our dreams. We're learning a lot in our dreams, right? Taking a lot in our dreams. And so the more you can be okay and allowing, just remember that you're not needing to integrate everything that you are receiving in order to be able to work with it, because sometimes you're receiving stuff and those light codes are flipping on, and that is not going to be effective for you until all of the codes that are going to give you access to whatever that intel is have come into play completely. So you're building to that in that momentum, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes total sense, because in the morning, I have a bedroom that's empty because my daughter has left. The cats stay in there, and you know how intuitive cats are. And I have one cat that's a rescue, doesn't let me pet it or come near because it's so skittish. So normally what I do is I come into the room and say good morning in my heart center, to his heart center. Then I use my voice. So I'm using my spiritual sense first. So the other day I went in, and all of a sudden, I don't know why, I just went near him. And normally I take cues if the cat looks like he's purring and his eyes don't look petrified. But this time I went with my heart to sense that I was okay to step in. And then for some reason, I closed my eyes for a second and all these light codes were coming in. They were like orbs all around the top. Like all I could see is the whole thing light up. And I said, oh my God, these are love orbs. Mm-hmm. It's not coming from him. It's coming from above. And I was like, he's loving me in a totally different way now. Well, and I'm finding that with animals. The animal world is just changing with the way they relate to each other and the way they relate to us.
I think as humans, we're just seeing it. I think they've always related that way. I think as humans, we're just seeing it. But, you know, cats are very galactic in nature. Right. And like, I can separate them into their star beingness. So what you were seeing is you were seeing him in his more galactic self.
Yes. And I told you I had the one galactic cat that was born without sex. So that's, this was his mate, because I do think they came in together. And I was wondering, because his voice is not as strong as the other cat was, and now I'm starting to see it. So interestingly enough, from a human level, he seemed shy, but on a galactic level, I could read it. So that was very cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Thank you for your question. Bobby, I see you're asking a question about mushrooms and ayahuasca. You know what? Now, because of the nature of where we are with ascension and how we're already accessing 5D, so in the past, we needed ayahuasca and mushrooms to bring us into that 5D state of being, which is where we would get to in dream state, right? Where we could have all of those psychedelic kind of experiences and whatnot. But now if we take mushrooms and ayahuasca, it can actually be a detriment to us. So we have to be really careful when we're doing stuff like that, because it can overexpand the consciousness, and we're already up in that consciousness. So if our human is not ready, because remember, the higher self only gives you what you're ready for or what you're capable of receiving. So if we open too much or too fast, we can get stuck in a multidimensional state of being that would be equal to like multiple personality disorder or something like that. So we really do have to kind of be careful when we're doing any of that, you know, any of that type of stuff. Yeah, because that stuff just blows you open. So we don't need to do that anymore, because people were doing that to access 4D, right? That's the astral plane where you can astral travel. Now we're beyond 4D. So what that's going to do is that's going to blow you up into the much higher realms even. People are doing a lot of crazy stuff like that. I know plenty of people that are doing the ayahuasca, and I get asked about it all the time. But because it could just be so damaging to the nervous system, because there's so much, you know, we can't really see the light frequencies coming in because there's such high frequencies that doing something that's like that could be very, very damaging to our neurological system now. So that's just, you know, my understanding for what the guides say. They don't really recommend it. So speaking of just when Netflix with Gwyneth special, and there was a whole, oh, really? Yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of crazy nonsense taking place out there right now. And I don't know. I think that we're going to see, and I'm just going to say this, and I think we're going to see a lot of people ending up in bad ways because they're doing stuff like that. But then again, remember that is the soul, that's the soul's alignment to come in and do that, right? So a healing, helping to heal. I don't know about that. I'm going to say that there are people that don't, if they're using that as a means to heal somebody, they don't understand ascension. That would be really interesting to me, because we are already beyond 4D, and 4D is where you blow open to get into 5D, to that unconditional love. So, you know, when I tune into that, I don't get a good feeling about that, you know. I would be curious, but I'm thinking that they don't really understand what's taking place on the earth as far as the ascension process is concerned. So, yeah, it could become somewhat messy out there, you know, and I think we will see that. And just remember, though, everything that is happening, no matter what it is that's happening to somebody, is soul alignment, right? It's already chosen by that soul to experience it in that way, whether it's an exit point or anything else, that's already been blueprinted by that soul. So we have to be consciously aware of that everybody, is choosing, you know, how they're doing their ascension, either off planet or continuing to do it in full body ascension here on the earth right now. So the next one, yeah, I like being in control too. Actually, what I like is I like having the amount of information that I have and the amount of intel that comes through so that I can do classes like this and share, because I feel like there's still a lot of people that are not ready yet to participate in a group setting like this, right? That I could have, you know, 30, 40 people on a call, but only, you know, a handful are ready to actually engage or participate, because it takes a lot to be present and in that, you know, to acknowledge that, that you're ready to participate in that way, right? So no mind all, yeah, I don't take any, I don't even drink. I don't drink wine. I used to drink wine. I don't even drink anymore, because like one glass of wine is like, you know, drinking a whole bottle for me now. I can't even take a sip of it. Yeah. It's no good. All right. So the next type of dream is, oh, you are? Yeah. Your body, our bodies change and they could become allergic after a while. Yeah. Because that is the physical restructuring at a molecular level, right? Because the cells are changing. So that can happen. So on to past life dreams. Past life dreams can be really confusing. You can have, you know, dream about dying or having died. But how you'll know it's a past life dream is you'll have stages within the dream. You'll see yourself at a young age, then middle age, and then finally at the end stage. Usually it's the beginning, the middle, and the end. And that dream usually tells some kind of story. And you'll be able to like, it'll be like putting the pieces of a puzzle together. And if you wake up in the morning from a dream like that, the best thing that you could do is to write down whatever it was that you experienced and gather as much information about it as possible, because you're probably having a past life that you are needing to integrate. Just like I explained the two that I shared with you. So, you know, we could have those where we're needing to integrate and then have that information. Sometimes it's a whole full-on dream, and then other times you just get like a bitter piece of it, like I got, right? But it's always going to tell a story, and you'll have like a place where you perceived yourself as being from, how old you were, all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, you know, spirit connections, right? Where we're connecting with our loved ones, our soul family. We go into astral, into 4D, and then we can go into the realm with a loved one that's crossed. Or I have to tell you, I can't tell you how many times I meet up with my students, with my clients, with, you know, like everybody and anybody, with animals. And most of them are not past, right? I think I work with more people that are here present on the earth plane than I do with people that are already past. So I find that to be interesting. Is that the same as daydreaming? Let me unmute you. Is what the same as daydreaming?
I was thinking about what you were saying about the past life dreams and all that, but When you're daydreaming, you're thinking one thing, and then all this other information, I don't know if it happens to everybody, but all this other information that comes through that, maybe you're daydreaming about things that you know about, and then other things come in. So is that part of your past life as well?
It can be, but so what's happening there is as you are daydreaming, you're relaxing, right? So your ego is out of the way. And as you're relaxing, your ego is out of the way and you're raising your vibration into a higher dimensional state of being. And then just naturally in doing that, you're able to access higher level information that's flooding your field.
So it's still psychic.
Now you've gotten out of your, what?
It's still psychic information then.
Yep.
Imprint of what's to come.
Yes.
That already happened actually.
Yeah. So and that's where, you know, you could start tuning in now, having all this new information, and start tuning in and saying, oh, maybe that, you know, that's that, or writing it down and seeing how it plays out.
Well, I think that's more like, not when I'm reading my clients, because that's like, always to another place, but for myself.
Right.
And then other stuff comes in. I'm like, okay, what the hell was that? But it's always in another zone. It's not an alpha state, but you're always somewhere else.
Right.
Like detached from the body. For me.
Because what happens is when you are in that relaxed state, you are accessing another part of your intel that you already have access to. It's just that you don't perceive having access to it because your ego is in the way, right? So when you're daydreaming, your ego takes a break and then your higher self floods your field and your higher self is bringing through all of this new information.
Well, doesn't it mean like there's some things that I don't want to be privy to. I don't want to know everything about myself. Whereas when I read somebody, they want to know everything, but I won't tap in. Even if I know it, my guides will say, you can know 1, 2, 3, and 4. It doesn't mean that they're ready to hear it. So don't talk about this part of it.
Correct. Right.
So when you're reading it for yourself, there are some things that I don't want to know. Because I always tell everybody, well, you need to experience raw emotion when those things happen. But that's for myself too, because I'm still human and want that experience and have that raw emotion. But sometimes they give it to you and you don't want it.
Well, you also have to remember too, when you're doing readings, it's a timeline thing, right? So you can only go as far as that person is willing and capable of receiving. Because if you give information and they are taking it in a different way than it's being presented, they may not access that timeline that you were reading. They may be accessing a different timeline.
Well, that would be, when I read, I have an agreement, like their guides will have to be the gatekeeper, so to speak, because I'm not going to sit there and, get all this information and then have to say like what I can give and what I can't. So I tell them, that's your job to do. Give me what they're supposed to hear. Mm-hmm. But for myself in the daydream, it's like they give me something sometimes that I'd rather not know. Mm-hmm. It'll just come in. So when you're in that relaxed state, almost like an alpha state, I don't want to see some of those things. I'm like, I don't need to know that. Like, stop. It's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, but you have to remember when you're in that wide open field, when you're in that higher consciousness, you are everything and everything is one with you. You don't have a choice. Yeah. And that's your ego that's holding the fear towards knowing all of that and more, right? So that's where we still have the work to do.
Well, I don't know if it's, maybe it is a fear the way you're seeing it. I don't see it as a fear. I see it as like, why did I have to tune into this person or this client that I read 3 days ago and know this? Like, I don't want to know that. Like, the reading is done. Why do I have to go back there?
But you don't have to deliver that information.
No, I don't. But I don't need to know it either. That's my point.
Right, but sometimes that'll happen just because your field is open and that information is able to come through. So you might have had, Lisa, I'll get to you in a second. So you might have had where you had received that information, but you already closed down, but now you have that information bouncing around in your field. So now you gave it access to connect in and come in.
Yeah, it's right? Crazy, some of the stuff.
You understand what I'm saying? So like you could have a packet of light intel, which is the information, bouncing around in your field, and you had already shut down the information. But then when you relax and you open up again, that information comes flooding right into your field. And you're like, hey, I thought I was done with that. Well, you were done with it, but you didn't integrate all of that information. So maybe at the time where you're shutting down and clearing your field or doing something different that's going to remove that information from your field so that it's not coming back in. We could talk about that offline if you want to.
Lisa, Christian?
What?
Lisa's an artist.
Lisa.
Yeah,
Lisa.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask her a question. Lisa, do you channel all your paintings, or do you get like different daydreams, or do you get the picture in your mind and then get up and you want to paint it? Like, how does it work for you?
Am I unmuted?
No, go ahead, go. You're good.
Oh, okay. So first I was going to say is exactly what Maria was saying, is that you're not finishing the connection with the person, because I don't want to get everybody's stuff. I got enough stuff in my own head. So I just asked for the connection, and if I'm getting more information later, I will send it to their higher self, and then they will receive it when, if they're supposed to get it. But for the most part, I set up spiritual boundaries because I need to go to sleep. You know what I mean? So that's how I set it up. And as far as the artwork, because it's similar to what you're saying, when I sit down and do a reading with the client, what I tell them verbally could be totally different than what I've drawn. And so I explain that to them. It's very cool. So I'm telling them again what they can hear and what they can learn from, because it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the contract with higher power, what they want to hear, what they need to hear at the moment. And then the actual art is, it's just so wild to me. It isn't anything of what I sketched in front of them. And it's a multi-layer encrypted code for their eyes. It's the only way I could say it. And their soul. What?
I didn't know you were a reader. I had no idea.
I didn't know I was a reader. I don't know. I was a flower painter. I'm seeing stuff with people, and then all of a sudden they're giving me feedback and telling me what it is. And I'm like, I don't know. When it's an open book, it just comes in, and I have to be non-judgmental. I have no idea why the heck you have heads or whatever the heck it is. And then some things I will paint underneath the client's work.
Wow.
Because it's encrypted in it, but it doesn't mean it has to be visually seen by everybody. And then that's the other thing I tell the clients, some of the work is not seen the same way as everybody else. Sort of like when you go to the museum and you go, I like that, I don't like that. Well, it wasn't intended for you to like it. It was intended for the client. It's not even the liking so much. There have been clients where they said, I don't like what you delivered. And that's no different than a reading. And I'll go, okay, well, I got to accept that. And then a month or two later, they might call up and go, well, especially when you do something that looks like the person, they'll say, well, there were parts of it that I wasn't willing to accept in myself. And that's no different than a reading when you have to give them, you deliver them a difficult reading where you're just articulating the words that spirit gives you. And you're not responsible for how they react to it. You're just delivering love as best as you can. And like you said, somebody will remember something a month later and say, oh, right, Bobby, you told me this, and I wasn't getting the clarity until like a month later. Yeah. And that's the same thing with your dream state. When you talk about all these things coming in, it's sort of like a dance party in the universe. Just like let it dance. Don't absorb it. Don't react to it. Just like, oh, cool, beans, what's that? And, you know, my dad has Alzheimer's now. So when people talk about their Alzheimer's patients and how they talk about the past, what difference does it make that you can't articulate exactly where their mind is? Just go with whatever it is. I mean, they could be seeing things behind me. They could be doing something in their past. Just go with the flow. Like a child. You know, I see the fairy. Okay, see the fairy. Yay. And just, I don't know. And like Marie said, it's the playful part. Just be playful about it.
Well, they spend a lot of time in between worlds, so. You know, they're going to see more than we see anyway.
Delete. You can see those things as well. You open to it. Just be open. I mean, my visual eye is really open, but it's sort of a playfulness, and I kind of like that. But you're getting that now, and I'm hearing it because I can see it. When people talk, I'm able to kind of see what you're seeing. So I can kind of see what you're talking about, like these images going across, and you just need to relax with it. If it's too overwhelming for you, you can kind of like, as though when you go to those sports bar and they have all those TVs on, you can turn one or two of them off if it's too much for your brain to process. But it's just like,
I just don't want to give them the information. I want to see it.
Right, right. Well, then you turn that TV off. You turn that off. You know what? Delete. I don't want to, you know, turn it off. But like Maria said, you need to do some type of grounding or detachment after you finish with the client, so that, I mean, I know my training is from Sandy and from Terry, and I know they're very big into cord cutting or releasing. You know, I try to release with love.
I've been doing this since 98, so it doesn't work. It's just what it is, and I don't mind, but I just, like, I don't want to, you know, you're not going to call up a client and be like, it depends on the client, of course. If I feel that they have more to offer, if they're going down a spiritual path, then of course I will give them anything that comes through. But I meant more of a, like a daydream type of state, like when I'm, you know, just zoning out, and then all of a sudden this is coming in, and maybe even their signs are coming in that dream state, like, you know, that their loved ones gave them.
That's because when you're doing that and you're daydreaming, you're connecting into 5D, right? So Lisa, through painting, and now I started painting again after like 40 years, is connecting into 5D because it's art and art is expressive, right? But so when you're daydreaming, Bobby, you're connecting into 5D and then you're just unlocking that download that's already there. It's that packet that was being held. And then if you don't want the information, just you can do what Lisa said and send it to the higher self. Or you could just be like, nah, delete that, cancel it and delete it because I'm not interested in having it, right? Yeah. So you don't have to do anything with it, but just know that because you've now accessed another level. And two, you have to think of it in this way, right? So whatever technology you had access to in 4D, if you get into 5D, now you're going to do like a clean sweep of everything in 4D because everything in 4D has to come forward in order to clear out of that field.
Got it.
Right?
Yep.
So
thank you so much.
Yeah, that's what that's about. All right. So spirit contact, we talked about visitations from loved ones, visitations from your guides, doing a lot of astral traveling, right? And that's important because sometimes we're gaining information. I know, like I had that Syrian ambassador come and there were mornings where I woke up and I heard myself saying Andromeda. And it was just for me to remember that I had been to Andromeda. And sometimes we're, you know, getting information that we need, although I couldn't tell you what it was at the time because I had no understanding or awareness, right? And then, you know, dreams, a lot of times, like, we'll have a sense in a dream that we are experiencing another reality, you know, maybe going to another planet. I've had those where I saw, you know, the planet was like this amazing purple and the pyramids were black and it was like all of this amazing stuff taking place. So we'll have those dreams too where we're off planet, off world, we're somewhere else, right? And then we have dreams that are educational in nature where, you know, we're either being taught or we're teaching someone else or maybe a group of other people. You might be doing healing work or you might be getting healing work done with you. You know, the Blue Avians came to see me the other night. They had me in a healing chamber and they were working on me. I know many times I've been in front of a council, the Council of Light, many, many times. You guys have too. You just haven't remembered it. Now I guarantee after this class, because you've all been activated and this transmission coming through is flipping on your light codes, you'll all have these amazing dreams and I'll be hearing back from you going like, oh my God, I had this dream. I was sitting in front of the council and it was like this group of beings and there were like 9 of them or there were 12 of them, right? Because they're either usually 3, 6, 9 or 12. You may be, you know, you might find yourself in a dream like I was in a dream looking at a book or you're looking at a scroll or you're looking at a map or a blueprint and you have no idea what it says because when you wake up, you don't have that technology to decipher it, right? So the book might be blank or the information might be light language and, you know, you're not recalling it when you wake up. But it's an advanced psychic download of information. So you really don't have to be caught up in needing to know anything more than that, right? So dimensional shifting, like Star Wars and Star Trek and experiencing that and thinking, wow, that seems so familiar. I mean, how many of us watched Men in Black? And then we were like relating to the post office scene or the bar scene in Star Trek where you walk into a place and you're like, I feel like I'm amongst a bunch of aliens here because this looks just like the bar scene in Star Wars, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, what's going on here, right? How many times have we all experienced that? You know, so, and then at night, many of you may be also experiencing yourself doing something on the planetary grid or you close your eyes and you are all of a sudden feeling the pull of the third eye out. And the next thing you know, you tune in and you have the the solar system, right, with all the stars and everything in the forefront of your awareness, and you're like, "Ooh, I feel like I'm floating out in space." And actually what you're doing is you're looking at the solar grid, right? So you might be doing some grid work, or you're a gatekeeper working the stargates. You know, and again, not everybody is here for, you know, multiple lifetimes. Not everybody reincarnated on the earth for, like, you know, thousands of lifetimes. You could have maybe only had a couple of lifetimes on the earth, and most of your lifetimes have been galactic in nature. So you're here to do something that is, you know, different. And as you're going through the process of your own awakening, doing more of this spiritual work, you're starting to wake up and have these awarenesses in your dream state, right? That's another big one. So, you know, having coming back from a dream and having an awareness of present time versus the past and the future. Like Bobby was saying earlier on the call, premonition dreams are a big one, psychic dreams, traveling where you're doing, like Yasmin was doing, astral traveling around the world, right? Like just being in that awareness. And then we have those darker dreams where we're playing or working in the lower fourth dimensional realm, because the fourth dimension has several layers to it, right? Lower fourth dimension has the lower vibrational beings like the djinns, the elementals. Some of the galactics are located in the lower fourth dimensional field. And so when we're dreaming at night and we're operating from the lower fourth dimensional field and you're perceiving yourself as having a nightmare, well, you're probably working out a lifetime in which you had a difficult lifetime, or maybe you were not a nice person and you murdered someone, and you murdered someone in your dream and you're like all freaked out because you murdered somebody. But it's really an integration of that timeline. So you're perceiving it as a nightmare or a bad dream, or you're fighting a demon, right? So we have all of these different abilities to access these higher states of consciousness, all on these different levels of existence, these different planes. When you are in the presence of, you know, like, let's say God, right? I had that happen one time where I was in a state where I had God in front of me, and I could only see from here down, you know, from his chin down. And it was a very powerful and very euphoric feeling, and I couldn't hold the vibration for very long because it was overwhelming my system, my senses. But, you know, we all have access to this. This is like a very high power dream, or you're working with Jesus or the Buddha or the Blessed Mother or somebody like that, right? Those are higher consciousness, higher power dreams. And then as, again, we go back to astral traveling, leaving the body, recharging the spiritual body. But then we have experiences too, where sometimes when we're coming back in from our soul body, from our spiritual body being out of our physical body, we experience another anomaly where we are in sleep paralysis, where we are not integrating back into our physical body in the right way, and we wake up before our soul is back in the physical body, and we perceive ourselves as being taken over by a demon because we can't breathe, we can't open our eyes, we can't talk, we can't move. And sometimes there's a hum in the background, so we may be hearing a hum. And that's because our spiritual body, our soul, has not come back into our physical body. And it would be like you trying to operate your car without the engine, right? You can't start your car or get your car going anywhere if you don't have the motor in it. So it's the same thing with the spiritual body. We need to have the soul in the physical body in order to move forward. Then you also have those moments where when you wake up with a jolt, right? You're just about dozing off and you're starting to go to sleep, and all of a sudden you get jolted back and you're like, what the heck? You feel like you were about to fall. Well, that happens because your spiritual body feels you starting to fall asleep and it wants to make its exit. And because you're not asleep enough, it bumps up against your physical body and it wakes you up. And that's why you do that, right? So that's nothing more than your spiritual body not getting out of your physical body because it's not asleep. During 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. is the most lucid time for dreaming, right? That's the time everybody is like most aware in their sleep state. And the reason for that is no matter where you are on the earth plane, it would be 10 to 3 a.m., right? And the reason for that is because that's where, when it's most quiet where you are. So if you are in California, doesn't matter. It's still going to be 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. because that time, excuse me, that time of night is the most quiet time of night. So when it's the most quiet time of night, 10 p.m. to 3 a.m., no matter where you are on the earth plane, that's when the quietest, that's when you can hear spirit the most. And usually you'll get waken up in that way, right? So if you don't remember your dreams, it's not that you're not dreaming, it's that you're in a deep state of dreams. Sometimes we don't remember our dreams for the reason that our human won't be able to appreciate what we dreamt because we're doing our biggest work or healing our worst situations in those states where we don't remember our dreams. And so we're needing to just let ourselves go into the deepest state of relaxation and have that dream and then be okay with waking up and not remembering our dream because that's actually when we're doing our deepest work. Bobby says, I was told from spirit, we feel like we are falling in our dream state. The soul is coming back into the body. It could either be one, it could either be that it's coming back into the body or it's leaving. Most of the time when we get that bump and that start and that jolts us awake, it's because our soul is trying to leave. But there are times where we will get that same sensation and it will feel so intense, like someone knocked the breath out of our body because the soul is coming back in through the heart center, right? And really thumps down into us. It makes an emergency landing, as I like to say, right? And it swoops into the body really fast and it scares the crap out of you. And you're like, what the hell was that, right? So that's another way that that we will exit and enter the body. And you know, really the best thing about dreams and interpreting dreams is to see where you're blocked. And also now is to understand, was this a potential timeline that I was integrating or was this a dream? And if so, now you guys have a lot of knowledge on different types of dreams. What kind of dream was that that I just had, right? So going to sleep at night, one of my favorite things to do is to lay in bed before I'm about to fall asleep and ask that the momentum of my thoughts slow down so that I can fall asleep and have a good night's sleep, right? So all you have to do is say, may the momentum of my thoughts slow so that I can sleep. This way, you're not carrying your day, the momentum of your thoughts throughout the whole day and probably yesterday and the day before into your dream. The other thing I like to do is ask that I call back my energy from every place it's been across all time, space, dimensions, and realities. You guys are getting the recording, so don't go crazy writing. So that I may be present, right? I call back my energy from all time, space, dimensional realities where it may have been, so that I may be completely present within my physical reality or my physical field or my energetic field, however you want to say that. Okay? Those are definitely two of my favorite things to do. And if you are Are you signing off, Bobby? Okay. Yes, go cook. Go cook dinner. We love you. Thank you for joining us. So if you, thank you. We love you too. So if you are wanting to have a better night's sleep, then you can do those things and integrate your timelines back into this now reality so that your energy isn't where you were at 8 o'clock this morning. And maybe you're, you know, someone that like Yasmin's coming into contact with, you know, hundreds of people during the day, walks of life, working at the bank, where you don't want your energy to go home with all of those people. So at night, just lay in your bed and just call your energy back and just be like, come back and be with me. And, you know, and if you call it back from all time, space, dimensions, and realities, you're going across and beyond the boundaries of where we live, of where we reside on the earth plane, right? You're going into all dimensions. So if last night you were in dream state and you were working in the seventh dimension, there's a piece of you energetically that's still in the seventh dimension, right? So if you call yourself back from all time, space, dimensions, and realities, then you are coming back from that seventh dimensional space. Everybody got that? Yeah. So, you know, this is where you can make a difference in the experience that you're having in your day-to-day reality. Very important. So again, it's why I do these classes. The more information that we have, the better we will do at navigating our pathway and having a great experience in our life, as opposed to feeling drained and feeling, you know, sluggish and like you're not in tune and you're not on point, right? And I never have those kinds of days anymore. The only time I will not be myself is when I'm going down to upgrade. All right. So this is where we have to just keep that perspective. So does anybody have any questions that they want to ask? Lisa, let me unmute you. Okay.
So my question is that when you're getting all your downloads, so first, the first thing you're doing is you're asking to slow down. So you're basically dumping everything, like just get my energy to be low. And the second thing you're doing is calling back your energy from maybe you were traveling and you were unconscious, or like you said, the past dream. So are you also calling in your guides? I mean, I've had people where they have put pictures of their guides under their pillow, or they have a certain scent that they put around themselves when they sleep, or they wear a certain metal or a stone to bring in clarity.
Now, when they sleep. And I'll tell you my perspective on that. And this is just my perspective on that, right? So to me, that is more ritualistic, right? So if I allow my higher self to participate in my reality, then I'm operating from the perspective that my higher self already has all the information that I need to have in this now moment, right? And if I am wanting to connect with a particular guide, then it's because my human is needing to have that experience because it feels like it's lacking in something that needs to connect to that experience, right? So I explain it to people like this. In third dimension, because we experience polarity and duality, and because the energy was very, very thick and viscous in third dimension, if there was good, there was bad. If there was right, there was wrong. When there was hate, there was love, right? And we also perceived that there were certain things that could hurt us, harm us, right? So it's the same thing as, you know, looking at needing to do ho'opo'opo'ono, right? Which is ritualistic for forgiveness and, you know, expansion, for saging, for like holding on to the saints' medals and all. For me, that's all And this is not just now. This is my whole entire life, because I came in from a 5D crystalline structure, right? This is how I was born. I carried the Christed Codex in my aura field. It's just part of what I came in to do, which is why I teach his classes. I never felt connected to staging, to protection, to protecting myself, because my higher self always knew itself as source energy, right? I still do. I had four higher selves come in, and in all of those interactions have never, ever, ever had a desire or the perception that I needed to go outside of myself for anything. But when we're having that experience, it's because we are still operating from that third dimensional perspective of life. Mm-hmm. This makes sense. Does that make sense?
Right. But I wrote myself a note is that you're basically clearing the slate. You're not creating a routine.
So let me explain that a little deeper, right? So that's not a routine, right? Where we want to get away from that. And I do not hold judgment. So if someone is wanting to do those exercises, do them. Whatever works for you, right? That's my perspective. I don't. And if somebody would ask me, you know, what my process is, it wouldn't be that, because I don't do that. But what I do is I ask my thoughts to slow down, because I want to be in conscious connection to my higher self at all times, right? That's a very conscious thing, to be connected to your higher self at all times, right? And then the second thing that I want to do is I want to call my energy back, because I'm an energy worker. I read energy, perceive energy, just like you do, just like all of you do. But I am very much aware that, again, and again, this is no judgment, right? I'm not holding any judgment when I say this. I don't subscribe to cord cutting, because I subscribe to calling my energy back. Because if I take my energy back from all the places I have ever been, then I have no attachment in those scenarios, in those places. Because I'm not just calling it back from another, I'm calling it back from the potential that could be created if I don't call it back. Because then that goes into those potential realities that are playing out without me.
Right, and it's drawing your energy away.
Does that make sense?
No, and it's drawing your energy away. I mean, I don't subscribe to cord cutting either, but I do feel a cord, and what I do is clean it up. Like you said, bring it in, and I connect it with love. Mm-hmm. It's how I do it, because we're all connected. I can see it, I can feel it.
Right.
So it's sort of the same premise, where you're acknowledging it's there, you're bringing it back into yourself. Like I said, I'm cleaning it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are rituals that I do because there are toxic people around me, and because of my Pluto energy that I tend to live in, I have to set those up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sort of before, you know, someone was sharing that, I have to do that because the world that I live in tends to bring other entities in, because I'm an open vessel. So I have to be very particular. Everything needs to come in. That's what I had wanted to say earlier, was to only ask things to come in that are for my highest good and in divine light. That's how I keep everything pure, because otherwise I was leaving it too open, you know, oh, be open to everybody. And it was taking me too long to clean up all those energy cords. So that's how I usually do it, is I make sure I set intention of whatever comes in needs to be clear. And sort of like you're saying, bring the energy back in and just clean it up a little bit,
Actually, that process of calling your energy back and bringing it back across all time, space, dimensions, and realities, that's it. Like, there is nothing else you have to do, because you're taking it back from all realities that exist, all dimensions that exist, all time, space, continuums that exist.
Yeah, but some of that energy might be really heavy.
That's a perception. That's, again, a third dimension. I would love to work with you on this offline, because I think it would just like really expand out. But
I get what you're saying. I heard it when you said it. I heard it. You're right. Once you start attaching things, it becomes about ego.
That's why I could play like this with you, because if you were someone else, I couldn't do this.
Right. No, but I got it when you said it. I get, because it's ego talking. Fear, the metal. I get it.
Of course. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And everything is so different now when it's coming in. Like you were saying earlier, everything is much faster. So all you'd have to actually do is energetically just shift your mindset. Exactly. And then it's already changed already.
Exactly. Exactly. Because that's an old third dimensional perception. Right?
It is. It's almost like, you know, cleaning the house with a broom as opposed to what we used now to clean the house with.
Correct. Right.
That's terrific. Thank you. I mean, I think you did a very thorough job. I mean, there's nothing, I wrote my notes here and what you said you were going to teach. I wanted to understand your world and when you lay down what you see, because it seems very vivid when you're saying, oh my God, I had this dream last night and I was hanging out with these Palladians having a drink. And I was like, I want what she has.
Well, you will if you keep doing these classes. I mean, this is how I started, right? I've been doing this for years. And then back in, probably about 2005, 2006, I started doing ascension work with the, you know, what I perceived as masters. And that's how I ascended myself and gained so much knowledge and have so much awareness. But I was staying plugged in every single time there was something going on, just so I could keep eating up that knowledge, right? That's how it works. And then eventually we arrive to our destination.
Right. So I just like the conversation. I think that, you know, I too have had tons of downloads through my lifetime, but starving to have the conversation with someone so you could say, oh, like, it's so cool how, you know, we're all thinking sort of the same way. And I mean, I follow a lot of people on other platforms and they could be in the other part of countries or a totally different age. And I'm thinking, explain to people, how would they know this knowledge? We didn't all read the same book. You know, we're all getting the same download. We're using the same words. I'm like, how is that even happening? Right. I mean, I come from the place where I really, same thing like you said, I'm getting my guidance from my guides. I don't watch TV and I don't read a lot. I don't read any books actually because I want it to be really pure. And that's how it works for me. But, and I like the conversation. Thank you. And I like to hear what other, and I'm really open to everybody's avenue of learning because that's how I'm able to be multi-talented in different dimensions because I'm open to learning, you know, and I do a lot of channeling from past masters and I know I've been in other timelines doing other art. Mm-hmm. So to me, it really is when I tell people, like, they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I used to call myself a multimedia artist. I'm like, no, I'm a multi-dimensional artist. I said, you don't get it. I mean, I didn't know what it was until people came over and said, do you know your work is like a puzzle and there's different layers to it? And I'm like, oh, what are you smoking? I want some of it. And then I realized, I was like, wow, it really has a fantastic healing modality. So it feels good to me when people go to me and how long does it take? And I'm like, you're totally third dimension. You're totally missing the point. Yeah. If you're going to argue with me how long it takes, you're so totally not getting it. I'm like, right? Can you imagine someone saying, I want to dream now. I want to download now. You can't, there's no timeline to that.
Yeah. That's the way it works. Yeah. Yep. Well, thank you for your input there. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Anybody else have anything? Any questions? No? Anybody have anything they want to share? Wave, you want me to unmute you before we go?
Yes.
Yes, you are unmuted.
I've lost the little box where you write everything down. I don't know what I did. So I was trying to write a message. Now I just want to say thank you. Not a question. I mean, this takes a lot for me to integrate, but it's something I have started to pay a lot of attention to, and it was extremely informative. And there's a lot of different aspects about dreams, and my dreams have of recent become extremely lucid. And I felt that there are. I was called to know what they were meaning. And, you know, I kept waking up going, like, I need to know more. And it was on a level, I don't really know how to put it into words, but it just all came kind of synchronistically at the right time that I was meant to listen to this. So it was hugely informative and kind of just blew me right open. So I'm really just very thankful. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad that we had a moment to connect because you definitely had a shift probably about, I want to say half an hour, 40 minutes back, that I watched you just like shift and integrate so much of what you were holding on to as you were taking this all in, and you just had that in that integration in that moment. So that was really beautiful to see. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good for you. And you know, listen, I can only bring the information through. It's, you know, those that need to receive it. And, you know, kudos to you for knowing that you really wanted to be on this call and to receive this information. So, you know, that's beautiful. And I love that you feel like you've received from this. So, you know, I have so much appreciation for you having been with us tonight on this call.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Marina. Really, thank you so much. I can't wait to go to bed actually tonight. Say those two things and see what changes. I feel like I'm going to bed so awake, if that makes sense, which is so beautiful.
Awake, yes, awake and aware, yes. Yeah. So, for everybody, whether you're on the live call or not, or listening in later, just I would love to hear some feedback on this talk and see how you are making out with your dreams at some point, and maybe we'll do like some kind of touch base or something like that. But, and definitely you can always tune into one of my other calls for Ascension, and we'll touch base on dreams again there. You know, the thing with the flow of the energy is it's always changing. It's changing so fast that we're just having to keep up with it continuously. And, you know, everything that I'm doing is in the 5D alignment. So we're not dipping back into 3D anymore. We're not dipping back into 4D anymore. So so everything that we are doing now is 5D, and I will keep reminding you when you are stepping back into 3D, 4D, so that you can bring yourself back up into 5D and just hold that awareness and hold that consciousness. That's so important right now, because this energy is just moving super, super fast, you know? So, all right, guys, I am, we're going to end this, and, so I unmute all of you so we can all say goodnight to each other, and get a copy of this recording, probably within the next 48 hours, as I'm not editing any of it. We're going to leave it in its entirety, and this way you guys can listen to it over and over again. Not that you want to, but you can do that. All right. So know that I love you. I am so grateful and joyful and thankful for all of you joining me tonight, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.